Nations rise and fall, leaders come and go. Cultures change, but the Lord remains our refuge and strength. And this morning as we gather here, this is a unique Sunday in being that we're celebrating not only Memorial Day, but also Pentecost. And across our nation, families are preparing to observe Memorial Day. You're going to see flags waving. I've seen some in the cemetery out here. Cemeteries will fill with flowers. Names will be remembered, right, of the people that we've lost, and stories will be told. At the same time, churches throughout the world celebrate this as Pentecost Sunday. And in celebrating Pentecost Sunday, we remember when God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church in Acts chapter 2. And you may ask me, Jeremy, how can you go ahead and cover both of these topics in one sermon? And at first, when I was preparing for this, I'm like, this is impossible, right? Like, there's no way that you can cover both of them. They seem like they're two completely different subjects. But then, as I was praying about it and preparing for it, my thought became one area of today is remembering fallen soldiers, people that have made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. And the other celebrates the birth of our church, right? Because remember, we were talking in Sunday school last week about in Acts chapter 2, and then also in my service, how it was the first time that that people were called Christians. And it was actually an insult at that time. But if you look deeper into both subjects, right, we can be reminded of something that's very important to us. Freedom has a cost, right? We've seen this cost with soldiers, and we've seen this cost through Jesus Christ. So the freedom, as many of us as Americans enjoy today, came through sacrifice. And that's sacrifice of the people that we don't have here today. The freedom that we have in Christ Jesus came through sacrifice. And the mission that the church has been called to advance requires us to sacrifice. And this morning, I am not here to make a political statement. I want to go ahead and make a biblical statement. Because there's going to be different viewpoints that we're going to have in this church. And that's common, and that's acceptable, right? And there's a truth that I want to preach about this morning that stands above every earthly kingdom, every political party, and every national identity. And that point is that Jesus Christ is Lord. In one day, every flag that we see, every government, every earthly authority is going to fade away. We can see that through history. If you're a history buff like I am and you follow different civilizations, we've seen some of the greatest powers have disappeared. And I actually, when I was preparing for this, I was doing some research, and there used to be a saying that the sun never sits on the British Empire. And I was reading from The Economist, and they went ahead and they talked about the GDP of Great Britain today. And the GDP of Great Britain, their production, what they're generating as a country, is now the equivalent of what Mississippi generates in GDP. Now, does anyone here think Mississippi is a great powerhouse, right? So nations come and go. But God will stand forever. So this morning, not only do we honor the lives of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, we go ahead and remember the one who gave his life for the salvation of the world. And my first point of my sermon this morning is freedom has always required sacrifice. Think about that. Freedom has always required sacrifice. And I went ahead and I did some research on Memorial Day because I wanted to get a little bit better understanding of how Memorial Day came about. And I thought it was something that would be interesting for people here. Memorial Day began after the Civil War. The Civil War was the deadliest conflict in American history. A war where more than 600,000 Americans lost their lives. And at the end of that war, families and communities began decorating the graves of fallen soldiers with flowers. And originally, it was known as Decoration Day. But in 1868, there was a general, John A. Logan, who formally established a National Day of Remembrance for those who died in military service to the country. And after World War I, Memorial Day expanded to honor all American military personnel who died in service. So today, all across the nation, families will visit cemeteries, flags will be placed at gravestones, old photographs will be brought out, and they'll talk about the memories of those individuals. And while there's some family gatherings today, there will be some empty chairs. And those empty chairs will remain empty to give everyone the knowledge of the sacrifice of others. So church, this morning, Memorial Day is not ultimately about politics. It's about sacrifice, it's about a day of remembrance, and it's about gratitude for the sacrifice that others have made. And I believe that remembrance is something that God holds deeply. Throughout scriptures, we go ahead and God repeatedly tells his people to remember. He says to remember his covenant. We're reminded of that every time we go ahead and see a rainbow during a rainstorm, of the covenant that he'll never flood this earth again. We remember his deliverance. And something that really has impacted me is remembering his faithfulness. That no matter how hard times get, God is faithful. And next week as we take of communion, that is the ultimate remembrance of God's sacrifice. In fact, in Luke 22:19, communion is called out by "this do in remembrance of me." So this morning, remember, we remember those who gave their lives for earthly freedom, and we ultimately remember Jesus Christ who gave his life for eternal freedom. In John 15:13, we're reminded that greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. How fitting that is today as we do Memorial Day. How many people have lost their lives for us to be here today? Memorial Day is not primarily about cookouts, the unofficial beginning of summer, vacations, or long weekends. It's about remembering the empty seats that we have at so many tables. It's remembering those who never came home. And some of those people died on foreign soils. Some died in oceans. Some died in deserts, jungles. And recently, I would say in the last 60 years, some of them died without recognition. And some have died very young. And whether we agree on everything politically today, that's not the point. The point is, real people have made sacrifices and have laid down their lives so we can enjoy the freedom that we're all experiencing in this church this morning. And every freedom carries a price. And I think it's really easy for us to understand that as a nation, right? We understand every time we go to war that there's a cost associated with that. But how many times as a church do we go ahead and forget that spiritually? Our spiritual freedom also comes through death. And we're reminded that when we go ahead and we see that Jesus Christ went willingly to the cross, not because he deserved punishment, not because he was powerless and couldn't save himself from the Roman government, not because he needed to, but because we were sinners in need of salvation. And many people today look at the cross as a symbol, but I'm here to tell you the cross was not symbolic. It was the most brutal form of punishment that humanity knew at that time. It was bloody, it was public, and it was humiliating. Like, you didn't want to go ahead and associate yourself with someone that was going to the cross. Jesus bore the wrath of sin so we could receive the mercy of God. Isaiah 53:5 goes ahead and reminds us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The freedom that we're enjoying here this morning, as you're sitting in this pew, as you have the right to worship without going ahead and being persecuted, was purchased by an American soldier, purchased by someone that was willing to go ahead and give their lives. But the freedom from sin that we're ultimately here to obtain and to share with others was purchased by the death of our Savior. And unlike earthly freedom, eternal freedom can never be taken away. At Pentecost, we saw the birth of a bold church. And in Acts 2:1-4, we're reminded when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So in Pentecost, right, we go ahead and we see a group of individuals that are gathered together in fear, right? They are hiding. These were people that went ahead and just 40 days, 50 days prior to this, they went ahead and they just watched their rabbi, their preacher, the person that they went ahead and gave up everything for to follow, crucified. And they went ahead and they feared arrest. They feared the same thing that happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. They feared persecution. And ultimately, just like all of us in this room today, they feared death. But everything in their lives changed when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Pentecost was not an emotional hype. It was a divine empowerment when our Comforter came upon them. The same Peter who went ahead and denied Jesus 3 times just a mere 50 days ago is now standing publicly before thousands boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ. In Acts 2:14 it says, "But Jesus, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice." This is in the same temple area where Jesus was tried. And you ask yourself, what changed Peter? What went ahead and made him that much different? And I'm telling you, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't come to this earth to go ahead and merely make us emotional during worship services. He came to go ahead and empower us to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ. Because I'm here to tell you that this church was never called to hide. We weren't called to compromise the truth, no matter how difficult the truth becomes. And we were never called to remain silent. We are to proclaim Jesus Christ every day. And Acts 1:8, it said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." The one thing I read from that is we are to be witnesses. What is a witness? Right? Because you can go ahead and you can be a witness that goes ahead and testifies to someone. You see that in a court case where a witness may testify for the defendant or against the defendant. But the one thing that we're not called to be is spectators. But in today's church, we often see spectation. Right? Where people don't want to proclaim Jesus Christ. And you say, well, things are different, right? We go ahead and we have to deal with so many different challenges today. But many of the early Christians went ahead and would die for that witness, for what they feared actually became a reality. If we read through history, we find out that Peter was crucified, James was executed, Paul was imprisoned and killed, and countless others suffered endless persecution. And you ask yourself, why would they go through this? Why would they deal with all this? And there's only one reason that you could understand for this, and it's because they were truly convinced that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Nobody is willing to die for something that they know is false. Pentecost went ahead and transformed fearful followers into courageous believers. Think about that. Pentecost transformed fearful followers into courageous believers. And I would even take that a step further and say it transferred them into courageous leaders, where people rose up and started proclaiming Jesus Christ. My third point this morning is freedom is not permission to live without God. We see in Galatians 5:1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So in that, we're told to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. One of the dangers that we see in modern American culture is that we often confuse freedom with personal autonomy. We've all heard people say, "I can do whatever I want. I answer to nobody. I define my own truth." And I think another one that has come to my mind is, "My body, my choice." And that is not biblical freedom. Biblical freedom is freedom from the bondage of sin. Before you go ahead and accept Jesus Christ, sin will go ahead and control you in every aspect of your life. You go ahead and you live in fear. Pride controls you. You live in constant fear of death because you have no hope. But Christ will break those chains. Romans 6:22 reminds us, "But now being made free from sin and become servants of the living God." Notice something important in Romans 6:22. Never does it tell us that Christian freedom removes authority. It simply changes your master. Before Christ, sin ruled your life. And after Christ, Jesus becomes your Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, this message is not often popular. Our culture is in love with a Savior. But do you know what they hate, what they resist so much? A Lord. Someone that goes ahead and says, I am going to save you, but you need to do X, Y, Z. You cannot separate the two. Jesus didn't simply die on the cross to improve your life. I mean, that would be fantastic, right? But he died to go ahead and transform who you are and how you live. So I'm here to say that America this morning needs revival more than it needs politics. And I'm going to go ahead and say this carefully and respectfully. America does not merely need better politicians. America needs repentance. We're reminded that God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, and then I will heal their land. He doesn't say if unbelievers, right? He says, my people who are called by my name. Laws cannot change the human heart. Right? You go ahead and you look at the Ten Commandments. They were a perfect example of the laws for society. You now go ahead and you look at the Judaic law, and there's tens of thousands of laws, and they still find loopholes in the laws to go ahead and get around them. You cannot pass enough legislation, you cannot win enough elections, and you cannot have enough arguments online or wave enough flags to go ahead and change the hearts of people. You cannot save one soul from hell by practicing any of those items. So I'm here this morning to say that the greatest crisis that we're facing in America is not economics. We go ahead and we hear on the news every single day talking about inflation and unemployment rates and the cost of goods and tariffs and all this other stuff. But that is not the real crisis in America. It's not our military. It's not our culture, right? A mixing of cultures is not our problem. Our problem is spiritual, because people are lost without Jesus Christ. And the church cannot afford to become distracted from its mission. The early church faced something similar to what we're facing today. The early church went ahead and faced corrupt governments. You went ahead and you had the Roman government, you had the Jewish government at that time. They faced persecution. I don't think any of us were persecuted this morning coming here. They faced violence, immorality, and a pagan culture. Yet they were able to change the world because they consistently preached Christ crucified and risen again. The answer was never political power. We've seen nations come and go. The answer was the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I stand here this morning, I made a deal with God that if I ever had the opportunity to stand behind a pulpit, that I would always present the gospel. So today, I want to speak very clearly about this. Every person in this room will one day stand before God. That may be 10 years from now. It may be a second from now. We never know. And the one thing that you're going to go ahead and when you stand before God, it's not going to be your church attendance that stands before him, not your nationality, not your good deeds, not the family that you belong to. It's going to be you standing before God. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes everyone, including me. Sin ultimately separates us from God. We went ahead and we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, where the children of Israel were standing at Mount Sinai, and they went ahead and they asked God never to show his face to them again or speak to them because they feared that they would die. So he went ahead and there was a prophecy that he would bring forth a prophet, which became Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You cannot earn salvation, no matter what you do. You can't afford to buy salvation. It's not for sale. And you definitely cannot inherit salvation. Jesus has already paid the price at Calvary. He died, he was buried, but the most important part of that story is 3 days later, he rose again. And he has an invitation that's open for you. And if I could stand here this morning and make that decision for you, I would. If I could stand before God on your behalf and secure your salvation myself, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would give my life for that. If you could force someone to experience the peace, the forgiveness, and the eternal hope that comes through knowing Jesus Christ, I would willingly do that. But I can't. Because God does not force himself on anyone. We're all given a choice. And every person must personally respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your parents can't do it for you, no matter how much they want to. Your spouse can't do it for you. This church can't do it for you. And a pastor can't do it for you. And I'm here to tell you that at some point, every single person must answer this one question. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Because neutrality towards Christ is still a decision. In Romans 10:9, we're reminded that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved. There's a 50-50 chance you may be saved, right? There's a high probability you'd be saved. It said, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse 13, we see even better promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And whosoever includes the broken, the addicts, the people that have doubted Christ, the religious, the proud, the sinner, me, you, anyone that is in the sound of my voice is whosoever. Because salvation is not about becoming perfect before coming to Christ. It's about surrendering yourself to the one who is already perfect. The same Holy Spirit who filled Peter in Acts 2 is still calling people to repentance and salvation today. So this morning, we remember sacrifice. We remember soldiers who gave their lives for earthly freedom. But above all else, we remember Jesus Christ, who gave his life so sinners could have eternal life. And Pentecost reminds us that the story did not end at the cross or even at the empty tomb, that God empowered his church through the Holy Spirit to carry this message into the world. And I'm here to remind Franklin Hill Presbyterian Church, we are still that church. we have been empowered that our community does not need more religious activity. It needs a spirit-filled believers who truly belong to Christ. So I challenge you today to leave here as bold people who serve faithfully, who speak truthfully, who live differently, and proclaim Jesus without shame. As you leave here, the flag will remind you that freedom is costly, but the cross reminds us that grace is even more costly. Pentecost reminds us we have been called and empowered to carry that message forward. If you can go ahead and stand, if you're able, and join me in hymn number 451, which is